Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us today. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Give the Purdy's a call about the Truman H. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament. 16 days away, May 3rd. Sean's going to be out there signing autographs. The suit will be at the 7th hole. With an autograph table. Last year he was out at the 7th hole signing autographs, and one group after another said, get out of the way, we're trying to hit. I don't think it went as well as he thought it would go. Jack Ham in a few moments. Talk about Dan Rooney and about Penn State football. First of all, our play-by-play call of the day.
Crosby around looking for Sheary. Instead, he goes to the left of the net now. Goes to the right against the board. In front to Gensel. Scores! Gensel wins it for the Penguins. What a play by Crosby. What a finish by Gensel. It's a final. Pittsburgh 5, Columbus 4. And ladies and gentlemen, Elvis has just left the building.
Mike Lang with a call on the Penguins Radio Network. There are 3-0 now in this series against Columbus. I remember last week we had Josh Getzoff on the show talking about one of the keys of the series was to not let Columbus breathe, not to give them any semblance of confidence because they were 1-6 in their last 7 games coming in. Well, guess what? They have made sure that Columbus has been unable to breathe in this series. Of 3-0. Today's show again brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We'll talk in just a few moments about Dan Rooney with Jack Ham. And can you believe it? We get ready for the blue-white game on Saturday at 3 o'clock as we head into our 18th season together, Jack.
Good to be with you, Steve. That 18 number, boy, that sounds like a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, you speak for all the listeners. It sounds like a lot. I want to ask you about Dan Rooney first, because you had the privilege of playing for the Rooney family. Tell us a little bit about the man and what made him special and maybe a little bit different than others.
Well, I think as an owner, number one, I think he felt that and he had things in his priorities were in order. He thought number one was the National Football League, then the Pittsburgh Steelers, and that's the way they ran the franchise from when the Chiefs, his father, owned it and bought it for $2,500 to the way they ran it today, where it's worth over $1 billion. And he cared about making the league better in any which way they could. And you know, and Dan Rooney had a lot of clout with the owners for a lot of years. And that's how we ended up getting the diversity rule with the Rooney rule for hiring of coaches in the National Football League. I think the commissioner felt that putting his Rooney's name on it gave it a much more cachet, and the fact that the owners would all buy in, and they end up doing it, and it was a good step forward for the National Football League to get the diversity coaches, diversity training in the National Football League.
Jack, as you and I know, there are certain owners that are at the forefront of their clubs. What was Dan Rooney like?
Well, Dan Rooney was the guy who ended up when he hired a coach, and back when they hired Chuck Knoll or Bill Cowher, or it was a situation where, you know what, they let them coach. They didn't interfere any way in getting involved in any kind of part of the football team. They felt they hired the best guy they could possibly hire. Let him do what he does best out there in coaching a football team, and especially with Chuck Knoll, because the Rooney family had a lot of patience, Steve, because, you know, his first year, it was a 14-game schedule back then, and Chuck Knoll was 1-13. And that in this today's day and age, that'd be a short leash. He may have another year at most, and then he might be gone.
Right.
Well, that Rooney had a lot of patience there. Chuck was trying to build a program from the ground up, and they gave him a lot of latitude, and ended up being, you know, 4 Super Bowls in 6 years. So I think a lot of owners, even today, they want that quick fix right away, right now, and if they don't get it, they keep turning over coaches, and that's not the way the Rooneys have done it in their entire organization.
All right, let's turn our attention now to Penn State football. You and I were there on Friday night to watch them. What are a couple of areas that jumped out to you right away that passed your eye test?
Well, you know, see, like you said, we've been doing this for 18 years, but the last couple of years, you know, you were concerned about the depth on our football team. And watching, you know, just looking at the entire team, how much more talent we have and how much competition there's going to be at, you know, it won't be at running back, but there's, we got a boatload of running backs right now who can play and play well and give Barkley a rest anytime he needs it. You look at the offensive line. A couple of years ago, we get a guy hurt, and we're all panicking what we're going to do. But you're trying to fill in and, you know, kind of put a finger in a dike kind of a thing. But now we have it just seemed, just watching all the talent. We've got athletes out there right now, Steve, in every position. I look at linebacker. Right now, we're going to be quicker, I think, on the field with, you know, Manny Bowen out there. Cabinda, I think, has dropped some weight, and he is quicker out there. And I think a guy this year like Farmer, I think he is a guy, I think, can end up making a lot of big plays. He'll be involved a lot on the open field side, and he will be involved in the passing game. He talked to him on Friday. He loves the passing game. He can't wait to get involved in that. So he holds up on the run. And he was 232, he told me, at practice. So, again, it's just collectively the entire football team. We are light years from where we were a couple of years ago in a sense of we got quality players, but right behind them is a lot of competition, which can only make the football team better.
When you watch the passing game part of it, everyone knows McSorley is the starter, but then Stevens is right there with him. What did you see from the quarterbacks, and what are a couple things that stuck out to you at wide receiver?
Well, first of all, I think with McSorley, I was really his arm strength seemed to be. He did a lot of work in the offseason so far, and then coming into spring ball, well, you know, and you know, obviously Stevens has a really strong arm, but you know, Trace McSorley is right there and delivering a football. And it's just his swagger, you know, not that he didn't have it last year, but, you know, when you go through a year like that, and they're still building, and he's, you know, he had a lot of big plays, and he gained confidence, like I think a lot of the players did throughout the course of last year. But his timing is better now. I see him on the outside, you know, as a wide receiver, than those 10-yard out patterns. I mean, that was a play that Godwin made time and time again last year. But you see a guy like Johnson out there who's been consistent now. And now we have a 6'4 wide receiver out there. Not that we won't miss Godwin, but a 6'4 right. wide receiver is a luxury for a guy like McSorley. And so I just, you know, again, every position. But you know what? Yeah, hopefully McSorley does not get hurt. But Stevens is a guy. Tommy Stevens can play. We saw, you know, a little bit of it last year. But, you know, we have depth everywhere. And you know what? We have depth at quarterback, too.
Well, how do you feel about did you get a sense for the cohesiveness of a football team? Every team takes on its own personality. Did you get a real sense about this team's cohesiveness?
Well, I could just talk to a couple. Just talking to a couple of players, like Cabinda is going to be one of the leaders. McSorley, you know, I said talk to Farmer as well. I'm glad to have the attitude. This team has not arrived. This team, you know, obviously losing the Rose Bowl in a shootout to Southern Cal, you know, took a little tarnish off an unbelievable season. But they're still on the idea of, you know what, the respect side of this football team. I know it's an overused term, but it really applies here. I think this year people, I'm sure, will not be looking past Penn State, especially winning the division and then the Big Ten championship. And will not be looking past them. And I think they understand that. I think they understand the challenge of which is in front of them coming this year. And so, you know, they're excited about it in spring practice. I'm excited about the football team as well. But again, we have to deliver in the fall. But it seems like, you know, Coach Franklin has them, you know, wired in on the mental part of this game where you got to continue to get better. And that's the way they feel.
Farmer's a former safety playing that outside linebacking spot. Talked about his size. Then there's Kabinda, and then there's Manny Bowen, who really came on the second half of the season. What kind of options does Brent Pry have? Because now he has three, quote, two-way linebackers out there.
Well, I think the key is when you have linebackers like this who are so good in the passing game. I mean, these guys can do play the zone drops, get underneath, route them. Talking to Farmer about all those slant patterns last year, if you read that one split second earlier, you're underneath those routes. That's why I think Farmer and Manny Bowen on the outside may end up picking up a number of passes. We need to get more turnovers on defense. But having more speed out there, and there's no question about it, we're going to be even a quicker defense this year. The only thing is the loss of Reed, who I thought was going to be one of the premier corners in the Big Ten and in the country. You know, but, again, we have depth there as well. But we'll have more team speed out there on defense. Nothing to see over a 12-game schedule. You end up making more and more plays as wide open as college football is today. So that linebacking core, I think they're going to fit in right really well. I mean, with Farmer out there, kind of a safety, you know, although at 230, you're not a safety, but he's got that kind of mentality. It's almost like you can play nickel out there with him in our base defense, in a sense, because he is like a defensive back out there. And those kind of players are rare in college football. And I'll tell you, when you get them like this, like a guy like Farmer, I mean, that's going to be a big asset to our defense.
When you look at a year ago, Jack, Joe Moorhead was in his first year as a coordinator installing his system. Brent Pry was in the first year as a coordinator. He had to install his system. Some of the elements may have been the same from the previous coordinator, but he still had to instill his and then go with his instinct as to how he called the game. What kind of difference do you think it makes when you have staff stability and now they're in their second year of trying to do this?
Well, Steve, you're exactly right. Plus, they did it with a lot of young football players as well, and on both sides of the football. I mean, there's a comfort level right now. I talked to Moorhead coming into the practice on Friday, and I mean, he's got a lot of toys out there, Steve. There's a lot of guys at skilled positions out there, obviously starting with your quarterback and Barkley, who I'm sure will end up being a Heisman Trophy candidate here this year, and the slew of wide receivers we have. But I think the real key, I think, for this offense right now, you know, we sat and watched that offensive line. We are now solid up front.
Right.
We have depth in that offensive line. That will be a big key and different this year for this football team. Negative yards we had with Barkley on especially first down runs and short yardage. I think we need to clean both of those things up. And I think you can do it with now an offensive line that's gone through the wars all last year and came out very successful. So I think that'll be the big key. He's got the skilled people. Now he's got those guys in the trenches, I think, who had the experience.
Jack, what about this process that you and I have witnessed where now he's just finished his third year and they were able to get a Big Ten championship and get to the Rose Bowl. How remarkable was it to watch this play out last season, to see it happen when it did?
Well, it's a credit to Franklin in the sense of, number one, he did not panic. He did not panic and try to burn red shirts and fill in here. I mean, I think I talked about the Steelers, but the stability up there at Penn State as well. And not that there weren't rumblings after a 2-2 start, but he knew that you got to continue on the road you're on right now and don't try to get a quick win here or there. Let this football team evolve and get better and better. And that's exactly what they did throughout the year. And there's one thing about it, if you start getting some confidence, I know we lost the Pitt game in the last, series of the game on the interception, but you start building, you know you can score points. All of a sudden, the defense is playing with a team at your head, so you're rushing the passer, doing more things. You don't have to hold on for dear life. All those things changed last year after four games. And I think now, right now, the difference here in this football team, I really believe coming this year, is going to be how solid that offensive line is. And then we can have, I'm not sure it's 1994 for the Penn State team, but this should be as good an offensive line they've had up there in a long time.
Looking forward to it Saturday at 3:00. Thanks a lot, partner. Appreciate it very much.
You are welcome, partner. Can't wait for the game. Hopefully it's a great day and a large crowd.
Absolutely. And right now the advanced forecast is pretty good. Now, as we all know, I don't trust the one till we get the one in the morning. but the advance at least looks good. So 3 o'clock will be the airtime, and that's when it'll start at Beaver Stadium. And we'll try to give you a flavor of everything going on with the football team that we have observed over a month, not just from a snippet of a practice or we're let in one day. I mean, we've been to, I've been to every practice. We will come back with more in a moment, brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
It's April, and you know what that means.
Time for the Spring Savings Event
at Sunbury Motors Kia.
We wanna see you in a Kia. Sunbury Motors Kia.
Bottom line, April is the best time to buy your next vehicle at Sunbury Motors Kia. During the Spring Savings Event, you can save over $4,000 on 2017 Serenos and all remaining 2016 Optimas. Or you can save $3,000 on a 2017 Kia Forte. If you're looking for low payments, how about 0% financing for 66 months? Need to save money on gas? Then get to SMC and check out the 50-mile-per-gallon Nero FE, starting at $23,895. Plus, you get Kia's 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty. So what are you waiting for? It's the Spring Savings Event going on now at Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip at Hummel's Wharf and at sunburymotors.com.
Tax and tax extra. 0% financing to all qualified customers through KMS. Restrictions apply. Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty. For details, see retailer or go to kia.com.
Some players that have really come on during the course of the spring, that's what you're looking for. I mean, who's maturing? Who's coming on? A young receiver like Juwan Johnson coming on, making an impression. Jonathan Highland at tight end coming on, making an impression. Tyrell Chavis at defensive tackle coming on, making an impression. So some of the people that right away that are just jumping out and have taken advantage of that extra year. Remember, a guy like Chavis, for example, didn't even get on the campus until August last year. Yeah, he still has not been on campus one full year yet. And he looks good at the defensive tackle spot. He's done well so far. I had to do something on Saturday. I had to attempt to fix my lawnmower. Okay. Because the automatic rear-wheel drive on it wasn't working. Okay. And so I decided, okay, well, let's find out what it is. Well, I'm looking in there with a flashlight, and I see that the belt has come off. So I attempt with my fat fingers to try and get in there and get the belt back in. But there's a plate there. I think the plate is on this to make sure the belt doesn't come out. So I fiddled with this thing for about an hour, took a whole bunch of bolts off, you know. Guess what I ended up doing, Sean?
Put it back together. I don't have my own lawn, so I don't mow, but you're kind of asking.
I went to Home Depot and bought another one.
A brand new mower.
Yeah, we're done. I got it. So, you know, I spent an hour and a half trying to do this. There's just no way I could fit. I mean, I could fit it onto the wheel, but I couldn't fit it to get it into the groove where it would go through this plate. And the plate is designed to get. I must have hit something that popped it out. You know, and the grandchildren have been in the backyard, so there's rocks and bricks and all sorts of stuff back there, okay? And I know I hit something. And that's probably what knocked it out. I mean, my hands are all cut up from doing this because I took parts apart, but I couldn't take the whole thing apart to get to it. So I finally said, heck with this. I bought a new one.
So how old was the mower?
Oh, the one I'm shelving here, 6 years old.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. No, I don't just indiscriminately go and buy mowers. I mean, why do you think I tried to fix it? I tried to fix it because I'm massively cheap. I was trying to somehow, some way get this darn thing going again so I wouldn't have to buy another one. But, oh, well, that plan went by the boards.
Blue-white game check already spent.
No, I didn't go out and buy the deluxe model.
See, I think if this would be a suit situation, I think he would look for the automatic upgrade.
No, I went with some old all-wheel drive deal. You know, it's fine.
With very low, no hassle, easy payments.
Oh, what payments? I just said, here, take the money.
No, the suit, not you.
The suit's looking for a five-finger discount everywhere he goes.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And we're brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's have served this valley for decades. And the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament, 12 days away. Our show will be out there. We'll be at the veranda out on the deck there. Looking forward to that very much. I always have a good time when we're out there. People walking by and yelling at the suit, get out of the way. You're in the middle of my shot. They'll come by. They'll say hi to us. Judy Carr always stops by. We have a great time.
Cannot wait. Finally, my first chance to get to one.
Yeah, that's right. You haven't done one yet, have you?
No.
You weren't out there last year?
I was not. I was still under the probational period last year.
Probational period?
Yeah, 90-day probational period.
Should have had that the first time. No.
The plan was to get there last year, but not this year. We're good this year.
I know what the plan was, but it didn't work out. You'll enjoy it. We'll have a great time. You're going to ride around. Now, you're not going to play, right?
I wish I could. Now, this is truly the one time I wish I was a golfer.
You going to ride around to the cart with us?
I should.
Yeah, you
should. I'd love to.
Yeah.
If we already have four on the Sunbury broadcasting team, I don't know where I would be. I mean, you have to have four in the cart.
Oh, for goodness sakes, you act as if they're out of carts. I mean, come on. Not out of carts. Yeah. Hey, we'll just get another cart, one that's specific to you.
Oh, come on. There's other people that are giving their time and their money to the effort that much more deserve a cart than...
We're in the morning flight.
Okay.
The afternoon flight's the one that has more openings.
Okay.
I mean, in the morning, we have fewer players in the morning as opposed to the afternoon. And you should get your own special jet-propelled cart.
It's very kind of you, but
you should come out, for goodness sake.
Well, I'll definitely I'd love to.
Look, we'll put you down by the bridge where you can shag the suit's ball.
If that's the case, I'm going to have to bring protection.
Oh, no kidding. Mark Mahoney, Drew Kelly, and I. When he hit that bridge, and the three of us ducking for cover as he's out there trying to kill us.
I haven't texted Mahoney in a while. I have to shoot him a text. And, oh, Steve is reliving the bridge story today on the show.
Oh, man.
He'll get a kick out of that.
All right. Today's sports bozo of the day. Somebody who is always a candidate, Adam Pac-Man Jones.
What did he do this time?
Went on a verbal tirade against a reporter just minutes into the team's first open interview period of the offseason on Monday. Jones was speaking to the media for the first time since he was released from jail after an arrest in January. He spoke only for 4 minutes before he yelled at a reporter who had asked whether Jones had anything to say to fans about his arrest. Jones announced before the interview that he would not be taking any questions related to the arrest. Jones entered alcohol-related treatment programs and anger management in the offseason, which obviously paid off big today, after his arrest on charges of harassment with a bodily substance, assault, obstructing official business, and disorderly conduct. The felony charge stemmed from an incident in which the police say that he spit on the hand of a nurse at a Cincinnati jail. He was also caught on camera cursing at a police officer and telling him, I quote, I hope you die tomorrow. They dropped the felony charge in March and said Jones's insistence on staying in the anger management program beyond the normal limits factored into its reasoning. As you can tell today, the anger management thing paid huge dividends. What are we doing? Adam Pac-Man Jones. All right, let's bring in Matt Leon, Philadelphia. Matt, great to have you with us. And the Eagles are looking at Dalvin Cook.
I think running back is definitely, I think it's going to be a defensive draft, but the one offensive position that will be a focus, and I think is a possibility in the first round, is running back. And he would step in as the every down guy right away if they were to go running back in the first round, regardless if it's him or if somehow they were to go up for Fournette or McCaffrey. They would become the guy. Don't expect Ryan Matthews to be back, and the guys that they will have back, they'll have Darren Sproles, but, you know, obviously he has his role and they're not going to expand that much more. But, you know, if they were to go in that direction at 14 or wherever they end up picking in the first round, you would be getting a guy that would be the every down running back as a rookie, I think.
Do you see a discernible difference between Cook and a guy like Christian McCaffrey, for example?
I think McCaffrey is probably... You see more of, and I think he's a better player, as much as I like Danny Woodhead, that type of guy. But I think he has better speed, more breakaway speed, probably better hands. I think that would be a little high. McCaffrey is one of those guys that could probably go anywhere from 5 to 30,
right,
depending on
right.
who likes him, you know, who wants to take the chance, how much a team convinces themselves that that somebody else is going to take him. And I think he is more of an X factor because of his ability to return kicks, return punts. You're going to maybe get a more rounded type of performance out of him. So it'll be interesting to see how it all falls, comes together, you know, because you could probably have as many as three running backs taken in the top 15 or just one.
Well, exactly. I mean, I look at, for example, I look at McCaffrey. I see Darren Sproles. That's what I
yeah.
see. They already have that guy, but the question is, do they want that guy and eventually phase Sproles out?
No, I think I would be surprised if you get more than a year or two out of out of Sproles, and I think he would be a natural progression. You know, but then you argue, is that too high for a guy that if he's going to play that role? I think if you're going to take a running back that high,
right.
You have to get three down potential out of him, and it'll be interesting. I really don't think, in the big picture, if we're looking at this, I would really, really be surprised if they don't go defensive back at that first pick. I'm also not convinced they're going to stay at 14. I think Howie Roseman loves to move around, and whether it's up or down, although I don't think they'll go too far down, if I had to bet on it, I would go that they're going to go defensive back in the first round, but the only offensive position I could see them taking that high is definitely running back.
Somewhere in rounds 3 through 7, do you see a wideout, or have they done? Or have they done enough in free agency to solve that?
I think you've still got to take. They've had so many problems at that position for so long. I think you would want to take at least one at some point, because, you know, while they're better this year, you know, all of a sudden Jeffrey's only on 1 year, so you don't know what the future, you know. I think in a perfect world he has a great year and the Eagles throw a bunch of money at him and he sticks around. You know, I think Torrey Smith will bounce back, but Torrey Smith, if you're going to look at it objectively, has been down for a couple of years. You can argue, was it a terrible offense in San Francisco? All true. But I don't think anyone can say with any semblance of, you know, of certainty that he is going to bounce back and be a 45-50 catch guy who stretches the field consistently. So it's not crazy to think that while they're better at that position now, you and I could be talking a year from now, and they're kind of in the same boat that they were 2 months ago. So I think wide receiver is probably a position, probably for the next couple of years, that you're going to take one at some point with an idea that this is a guy that can hopefully contribute for you.
Phillies offensively have been struggling, but one guy that is not struggling offensively is Cesar Hernandez. What do you like about him so far?
I like that he hits the ball hard a lot. He offensively, with the exception, since he has come up, second half of 2015, I think it was, with the exception of the first half of last year, he has been an incredibly consistent hitter. Mm-hmm. You know, a multiple hit machine, showing some power this year. He's got 3 home runs, although I don't think that's where his bread will be buttered in the big picture, but it could be the sign of a maturing hitter who, you know, is really starting to figure things out. He's good defensively. I don't know that he is ever going to be great, but he is good enough, especially with his offensive game. The thing with Cesar that drives you nuts, and there hasn't been any really, really terrible situations this year, is his base running was just atrocious last year. And he's not as good a base stealer as he should be for someone his speed. That stuff I think you can figure out. And I think he was a guy that I was kind of on the fence with. Is he a piece or is he a placeholder? And I am starting to move quickly towards he is a piece going forward, because really all the guy does is hit. And if he can show a little bit more plate discipline, get that on-base percentage up to, you know, somebody who's hitting 310, 320 and gets on base to 380, 390, you know, that's guys like that are kind of hard to find. So that'll be interesting. And this is, you know, kind of the nice thing we talk about, kind of this cascading talent. J.P. Crawford is really struggling here, very early on, obviously, but struggling at AAA, you know. And you've got Cesar at second, and you've got Freddie Galvis, who, you know, offensively is still in a slump right now, but has shown to be a positive offensive player, especially from the shortstop position, and phenomenal with the glove. You can afford to allow a J.P. Crawford to figure things out at AAA, get 500 plate appearances at AAA, really come of age. You don't have to force feed him just because he is the only guy in your system. They're in a good spot with that right now. Obviously, you know, fans want to get better right now, but in the big picture, they're okay.
Odubel, Herrera, Howie Kendrick, and Hernandez, really the only three guys that are hitting. The prolonged team slump in the other five spots in the order, obviously it's hurt them. But is it something where people are getting anxious about it, or is there too much potential in those other five spots? For example, like a Tommy Joseph, like a Franco, guys like that.
I think it's a player-by-player case. I think people are starting to get frustrated with Franco because it's the same thing over and over again, the lack of discipline, the wild swinging. You know, he had in that bat yesterday's game in the ninth inning when they took the lead before Harper's walk-off. You know, he comes up as a pinch hitter with the bases loaded and, you know, flails wildly early in the count and grounds out to end the inning. You'd love to see a guy that could work pitchers more, that had a little bit better approach. I'm not by any means ready to turn out the lights on him at this point, but I think the level of frustration is more with him than, say, a Tommy Joseph, who, number one, showed last year, even in a quarter quote-unquote kind of a breakout year. He wild. There was very little middle ground with Tommy Joseph. He was either hitting the ball out of the ballpark five times a week, or he couldn't get the ball out of the infield for days at a time. There was, he was hot, ran very hot and cold, and I think people have kind of come to expect that of him. And people didn't expect much of Tommy Joseph, you know, because he had pretty much been written off in the organization. I think one thing you might start to see a little bit more Aaron Altherr in the outfield, specifically maybe in right with Michael Saunders. You know, it'd start working him in a little bit more. Actually, if there's one thing I'm surprised about to this point in the season, it's that we haven't seen more of him. I get that they, you know, they brought in Kendrick for a reason, and they brought in Saunders for a reason. But I think Altherr is a guy I really would love to come out of 2017 having a good idea of what he can and can't do, and whether he is a guy I can count on going forward. And I think we'll see more of him as this season develops.
Well, thank you, sir. As always, great to hear you.
Great to be with you. Thanks a lot.
Matt Leon, KYW Philadelphia. We'll come back, wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance.
Get outside and clean up the yard.
Yes, dear.
Springtime means cleanup time, even at Sundary Motors Ford. Sundary Motors Spring Inventory Cleanup has begun. Once a year, SMC takes their entire new Ford inventory and prices them at levels not seen before. SMC is where you want to be, to choose from 33 Ford Escapes starting at $19,380. Sundary Motors has sold over 40,000 new Ford trucks in the past 102 years. SMC is where you want to be, to choose from over 4 city blocks of new Ford trucks. F-150s starting at an amazing $24,919. SMC is where you want to be if you want a brand new Ford Focus from $14,835. SMC is where you want to be for a 2017 Edge starting at $27,420. SMC has your next Ford Explorer ready to roll at an unheard of $29,835. Sunbury Motors Ford in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. SMC, satisfying more customers, selling more cars. A tradition of trust since 1915.
Even when they grow up, your kids can still surprise you. My son calls to tell me he bought his first new car, picked the make, model, and dealer all by himself, and negotiated his own deal. But when it came to insuring his new ride, he wanted Dad's advice. I told him one word, Selective. They've always done right by me. It's nice to know you're still needed.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Purdy Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at purdyinsurance.com. Find out what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
All right, welcome back. Final few minutes of the show today. Great to have you all on board, as always. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. On the scoreboard from earlier today, the Red Sox and the Patriots Day game beat Tampa Bay 4-3. Baseball coming up tonight includes the Pirates and the Cardinals. Boy, the Pirates had a weird year. Get swept by the Red Sox, sweep the Braves. Get swept by the Reds, sweep the Cubs. They're 6-6, all sweeps. They got the Cardinals tonight, who are only 3-9. Yankees, 8-4. They got the White Sox tonight. Brewers and Cubs tonight. Indians and Twins, Angels and Astros. Arsenal won today, beat Middlesbrough by a score of 2-1. And the NBA and the NHL, Bruins and Senators tonight in Boston, tied 1-1. Let's see. Capitals and Leafs tonight, tied 1-1. That's up in Toronto. Nashville hosting Chicago, and the Predators lead 2-0. And Calgary and at home tonight at the Saddle Dome with Anaheim at 10, and Anaheim's up 2-0 in that series. NBA tonight, Pacers at Cleveland. Cleveland held off the Pacers to win game one. San Antonio blew out Memphis in the first game. They'll play game two tonight. So that's what's going on this evening in the playoffs and in Major League Baseball. Interesting. And the Blue-White game is Saturday at 3. I guess what you said, they're going to open up the church tomorrow in Pittsburgh, and the public will be allowed to go to the funeral for Dan Rooney.
That's really, it's no surprise, with him being a man of the people, he wouldn't put himself in front of everybody else, family sure. first, players sure. first, organization first, it's a wonderful cathedral in Oakland, but boy, oh boy, with just football dignitaries that would want to come and pay their respects, mm-hmm. and boy, I wonder how much seating would be left for the public, so.
Bucknell's spring game is Friday night. It'll be they'll warm up at 6, and they'll start their scrimmage at 7 on Friday night. So come on over to Matheson. It should be great. Take that in Friday night, and then take in the Blue-White game for Penn State on Saturday at 3. And the broadcast, by the way, starts at 3 on Saturday. So they'll probably start the scrimmage like 3:06, 3:07, something like that. The parking, if you have your pass from last year, and the pass, the envelope they gave you for parking last year, if you had season parking, the Blue-White pass is in that envelope. If you do not, or if you did not have season parking, or you accidentally threw it out, whatever, it is $20 to park. Now, admission to the scrimmage itself is free. So, you come down with six people in the van or whatever, all six of you are going to get into the game for free. The largest attendance so far for a spring game this year is 80,000 at Ohio State. Michigan had 57,000. I believe Alabama has not done. Has Alabama done theirs yet? I don't think so. I think Alabama's about the only one left that would draw a gigantic crowd besides Penn State. It's always interesting to see, these spring crowds. I mean, the USFL had this. That has stuck around. It's not like you can go from the USFL to the White House. Wait a minute. Hold on. I take that back. The music just in time.
Alabama spring game, the A-Day spring game is this Saturday.
Okay, all right. Now, they may get 100,000. I don't know.
Largest A-Day crowd in school history, 2011, 92,310.
There you go. Well, come out on it Saturday. It'll be a lot of fun. At least I think it'll be fun. Oh, Jack and I are looking forward to it. There is a lot for the two of us to cover for you in the game. A lot. And we're not going to sit there and we're not going to talk about all the ancillary stuff. We're going to sit there and talk to you about the football team and where they are and what we've seen so far.
We're your home for news, sports, weather, and your home for the Phillies, News Radio 1070 WKOK, Sunbury.